Okay. Open up your Bibles to James chapter 2, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us. He shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth so that we can operate in your kingdom the way you desire us to. Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us at the new birth, so we are able to open up your word, learn how to get this revelation that we need out of it, so that we can live by it, operate in faith, because you told us that the just shall live by faith, and we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. You know, the biggest thing, we're going to talk about actions that correspond with faith, and there's a difference between heartfelt faith and mental ascension. And we've got to understand this. The thing that I always run back to when I start thinking about this is Peter, when he was in the boat. He was in the boat and they were in a storm. And Jesus walked out on water. And Peter said, "Jesus, if it be you, bid me to come out." And see, there were 12 of them disciples in the boat. They all heard Jesus say, "Come." Only one of them jumped out of the boat. He jumped out of the boat. Don't worry about the sinking part. He put action to what he believed. He jumped out of the boat. That was a hardest thing. I struggled with this for a long, long time, and I studied it, and finally I got to noticing that every time somebody believed something, they did something. The blind man that was a beggar, that he had this special coat, and this was his livelihood. This coat was everything to him. In fact, he had to wear that coat because it identified him as a beggar. That was his license to beg. And Jesus said, "What would you have me to do?" And he said, "That I could see." And he said, "Come here." And the guy threw his coat away. I always wondered about that. And I didn't know what in the world what that had to do with anything. Until, see, this is a good thing about when you're studying the Bible. Learn a little bit about the culture and a little bit about the history and a little bit about the geography, and then you'll start being able to piece some of this stuff together. This guy threw his bread ticket away because he believed he was going to get something from Jesus. Yeah. The woman with the issue of blood, she come running down through that crowd of people. Legally, she could have been stoned on the spot. You know, she had to know that the ruler of the synagogue was right there with Jesus. So that would have really been a double, that would have been a double sentence. Not only was she in the presence of men, but she was touching them, and she was in the presence of the ruler of the synagogue. But she believed, because she had heard, remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. She had evidently heard about Jesus healing people and that he would have mercy on her too. She ran down there and touched the hem of his garment and got healed that minute. Boom. She did something. She put action to what she believed. Actions that correspond with faith. One of the greatest mistakes that people make is to confess their faith in the Word of God and at the same time contradict their confession by wrong actions. We say that we're trusting God to provide for our financial needs, but at the same time we're worrying about how we're going to pay the bills. There's no corresponding action there. One minute we confess that the Word of God is true, and the very next moment we repudiate everything we say by wrong actions. Our actions have to correspond with our believing if we are to receive anything from God. sometimes we have to just stop. We have to just stop and think about what we're doing. Do we believe that God will never forsake us? He'll never leave us. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. Do we believe that? Or do we make sure that we got a loaded shotgun before we go out at night? Because, you know, the booger man could be there. Do we dare let our feet touch? You know, there could be something under the bed. Are we going to be okay? He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. But oftentimes we act like He's not anywhere around. Let's look at James now, chapter 2. This is some, and verse 14, there's some confusion in these scriptures because people try to use this against, they try to use this on people that aren't born again, and then they try to get people to earn their salvation. They try to get people to work out their salvation by works. He's not talking to unsaved people. He's talking to Christians here. He's saying, what does it profit, my brethren? There's the clue right there. My fellow Christians, what does it profit? Though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is but one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith without faith wrought with his works, and by works is faith made perfect. Okay. Now some people get confused and start thinking, you know, you're saved by grace, but also you got to do some works of the law. That is not what it's saying right there at all. Abraham did not work out anything in the law. God had given him Isaac, the child of promise. And he got up one morning and he told Abraham, said, you go to this mountain and you sacrifice that boy. So Abraham got up in the morning, got the boy up, didn't say anything to the little woman. God, she would have freaked. Took him up that mountain, got the wood gathered up, went up there, made the altar, got everything, and Isaac said, where is the lamb for this sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. This is the child that Isaac had been waiting on for a long time. And God said, go sacrifice him. See, without that obedience of him, without Abraham being obedient to lay his son on the altar, and the son being obedient to the father to get on the altar, see, he wasn't just a little boy. They figured he was 30-something years old. He was well big enough to overpower Abraham and go running like a rabbit. But he was obedient to get on that altar. And Abraham went to he had that knife in the air, and the angels come down and said, don't lay a hand on that boy. God has provided himself the ram. Now, Abraham was a professional sheep herder. He would have seen a ram caught in the thorns. He would have seen that. But God made it happen just right in the nick of time. Then God said, now that I know that you'll lay it down, that gave God the right to put Jesus here and get him on the cross for us. Amen. I believe Abraham went up that mountain expecting to sacrifice Isaac and burn him on that altar and watch God raise him back up from the ashes. Because God said that your seed will be as many as the stars in the sky. So he wasn't going to leave that mountain with Isaac. I believe he was going to expect God to raise him up out of them ashes and come walking down that mountain because God said. And Abraham was fully convinced. He was fully persuaded that what God said was true. How did Abraham get to that point? And he meditated on it all the time. He cut a covenant with God. And he meditated on his word. That's how we get fully persuaded that what God said is true, that he would do. We meditate on what he says. We need finances. Go to the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, and I through his poverty have been made rich. That's not your works. That's his grace. So we meditate on that. And we meditate on that. And we meditate on that. And we say it over and over and over again. You're not bending God's arm. You're not trying to talk him into something. You're getting it in your heart till it becomes a reality. You keep calling things that aren't as though they are until it happens. You need health. You need healing in your body. Then you walk around. You start saying, by his stripes I was healed. We're back at the cross. Everything you need, go to the cross. Because everything was met at that cross. When we need salvation, where do we end up? At the cross. Amen? Go to the cross. One translation says, what good is it, my brethren, if a man profess to have faith and yet his actions do not correspond? Now you see in these verses here, James was saying, talking about this poor man that didn't have any food and didn't have a coat, he said, don't just pray for him. The praying is nice. Feed them and clothe them. That's putting actions to what you believe. The trouble ends up when we get to thinking about this. Well, you know, I got a car payment coming up. Well, do you believe that God is going to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Or do you believe that if you help somebody, he's going to leave you destitute? So we got to reason this thing out a little bit. Think about what we're thinking about. Amen? One of my most annoying things I ran into was somebody said, you know, when you get out of a prayer line, you should sanitize your hands. You know, even someone said you should put on gloves before you lay hands on people to pray for them. you're invoking the blood of Jesus, you're believing the blood of Jesus that kills all diseases, and you're claiming to be praying the prayer of faith to heal somebody, and you're afraid that if you touch them, you're going to get the sniffles like they got. That drives me nuts, because that's not faith at all. You're putting more faith in what the devil can do to you than what Jesus can do to that sickness. Amen? James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's in James chapter 1, verse 22. Another translation reads, deluding your own selves. There's a lot of people that are deluded. When things don't work out, they want to blame God or they want to blame the devil. But actually, we need to look at what we're doing. We confess the word of God in church and then we go against it out there. See, the word of faith is just as important out that door as it is in here. Amen. This is why we have to watch our profession. Watch what we're saying. Watch what we're saying. When we pray the prayer of faith to be healed, our confession needs to be, by His stripes, we were healed out there. Out there. You know, you spend 3 hours a week in here. The rest of the hours are out there. And the real battlefield is in the middle of the night when you're alone by yourself with your own thoughts. That's where you're going to have to really battle it out. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He was talking to himself. He was saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. His brain got to thinking and got to spinning these crazy ideas around. So he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. What was he doing? He was telling his mind to shut up and start thinking about the right thing. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. You know, he was living in a cave when he said that. And he was anointed to be the king. And the king that got removed was trying to kill him. And he was in covenant with that guy's son. So he wouldn't lift a hand to him. He wouldn't let none of his soldiers lift a hand to him. Wouldn't harm a hair on his head. Even though the guy was trying to continually kill him. But covenant meant everything to him. Amen. Go over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. There's an interesting compilation here about two different kinds of people. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus said, do these things that I tell you to do, and you're building your house on a rock. On the rock. On Jesus. The rock. Verse 26 said, everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Did you notice that the storm hit both houses? I really, really liked what one guy said. A man with a tore up Bible usually has a life that isn't tore up. There's a lot of Torah people running around with Bibles that haven't been opened. They got Bibles. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. See, it's the truth that you know. When we learn of Him, when we take that Bible open and take His yoke upon Him, upon us, and learn of Him. I mean, we're learning about Him. We're actually getting in there and reading about what He did for us on that cross. When we learn about Him, when we get these new creation realities in us, when we learn about the things that He did for us, and learn about Him and His ways, that's truth. And that's truth that'll make you free. See, once you get the revelation that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's His shed blood that made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that is, because of His shed blood, nobody will ever be able to talk you in to going out and trying to do something to make yourself more righteous. You know that when you got born again, that's just what you were. You became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's just the way it is. Like when you get born a guy, you're a guy. When you get born a girl, you're a girl. Live with it. That's just the way it is. Amen? So take these new creation realities and accept them and make them your own. Walk in them. Keep learning of Jesus. You're building, see, and you just won't do it when the wind is calm. See, you can build your house in a storm. A lot of people have done that. They've come out with great faith. Believe me, I'll tell you, when you got to build your house in a storm, you're desperate. And you're going to spend a lot of time. And you're going to do whatever you got to do. But when you come out the other end, you have learned something. But here's something. You can learn from other people's experience. You can go ahead and build that house of faith while the wind isn't blowing. Then when the wind comes, it might get a shingle or two. But it's not going to be that big of a deal. Amen? It'll bounce off. See, this is why it's so important to get in the Word when nothing's wrong. That way, when it's time to walk by faith, you're not accusing God of cursing you. You don't ever get the idea that you're under the curse. You don't ever get the idea that you did something to deserve this. Maybe you did, but Jesus did everything right. And by His grace, He gave it to you. Amen? I'm not giving you a license to sin. I'm just saying that people make mistakes sometimes. And they got to pull on the blood of Jesus. Amen? Stay in the grace side of things. Understand this, that God is for you. He's not against you. Amen? So we're not going to panic when something happens. And I said when. The when. The storms are going to come. But I want you to look at your track record. So far, your track record of getting through a hard time is 100%. In spite of yourself, God got you through it. Even when you weren't born again. He still made it a way for you to live. Sometimes we got to look back. We got to look back at our life and see all the things that God brought us through. Amen. He's a good God. Look over to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. The way to make God's word your own is to act on it. Do what it says. One thing Glenn Smith used to say when we were in Bible school, he said, these things, these promises, and these things in the Bible that you're learning about, that you find in the Bible, a lot of these things, you have to learn them experientially. See, it's one thing to see something in the Bible and believe it and say, okay, that's what the Bible says, I believe it. It's another thing to have to use that verse to survive. See what I'm saying? Here's what that verse says. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. The only way to trust in the Lord is to trust His word. See, I don't know God by feelings, and I don't know by these experiences. A lot of people have seen Jesus, and a lot of people have had these dramatic experiences. The way I know God is from His word. Peter's seen Jesus with his own eyes. And Peter touched Jesus with his own hands. And Peter said that this word is the more sure word of prophecy. The Bible is the more sure word of prophecy. That's the best way to know God, is to experience Him through His word. John chapter 15, it talks about abiding in the vine. You know, Jesus is the vine. Our lives are hid in Him. And we draw our life from Him. We're the branches. If we stay vitally connected to that vine, then there's going to be fruit produced on us. We don't produce the fruit. It's His life in us that produces the fruit. He's also the husbandman. That means He's the one that takes care of the branches. He cleans us up. He's washed us with His blood. He's washed us with the water of His word. He said, now you are clean through His word. Now, there's nobody that has ever been ordained to be a fruit inspector. That's a nasty habit that the church has come up with. And they try to judge people. We're not the judge. We're not the judge. We're in the process of abiding in the vine, producing our own fruit. Amen? We're also in the process of encouraging people in Christ, lifting them up, and adding to the body of Christ, becoming a productive member in the body of Christ by praying for people, encouraging them, inviting them to church, going and helping them out so that they can get into a position where they can get in the Word so Jesus' life can shine through them too. Amen? Go over to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. talk about trusting in the Word. When we trust in the Word, we're trusting in the Lord. You know, in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld and called Him Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. When you're focused on the Word, you're focused on Jesus. You don't have to meditate a picture of Him. You don't even have to have a picture of Him on the wall. You got a picture of Him right here. Right here. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Another version of that reads, I watch over my word to perform it. But you got to take that word to be yours. You find a promise in the Bible. You find a promise in the Bible. You got to take that and make it part of you. You got to become a part of that word. You find yourself in the Bible the same way Jesus did. Jesus opened up the scroll, said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He found himself in the Bible. We find ourselves in the Bible. Jesus had to find himself in the Bible. Why would we think we have to be any different? We find ourselves in the Bible. How do we do that? We go in there and we find these new creation realities in there. We find these things that Jesus did for us. Find out how we've been made a new creature in Christ. Find out how we've been made the temple of the Holy Spirit. Find out how Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, said, Verily, verily, the things that I do shall he do also. And even greater things shall he do, because I go unto the Father. See, he gave you equal power with him on this earth. I know that bugs a lot of people. But if he said you could do greater things than these, then you have to at least have equal authority with him on this earth. Well, why don't we see anybody doing it? We do some. We find some people that get down and they take them promises as their own. They find themselves in the Bible. They meditate on it. They feed on that word. And they live it out experientially. I'll tell you. When you find a new revelation in the Bible, something that strikes your heart, and you underline it in the Bible, stay with it. Fight for that seed. It got planted in your heart. Fight for it. You got to fight for it, because the devil is going to come as fast as he can to try to steal that seed so it doesn't take root in your heart, so you don't get a revelation of it. You might have to fight with some of these promises for several years. But don't worry. It took you several years to learn how to walk successfully, didn't it? Well, why would we be any different now? Go ahead and take a hold of that word and fight for it and make it yours. And watch God show up and show off in your life. Watch Him show up and do things that are beyond anything you could have ever expected. Because He will. He said He hastens His word to perform it in your life. He watches over His word. No word of His returned to Him will be returned void. When you return His word to Him, it is alive. And He said, bingo. I got a live one here. And then He's got these angels. that go out and cause God's word to be performed on your behalf. What we got to do is get our mouth in gear. I know some people need to just stop saying anything for a little while until they get some Bible in them. And then start saying what the Bible says. Just say what God says about you and your situation. Amen. And then live like it's so. Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that we can take your word in our hearts and believe it. And we can speak it forth and it will happen. The same way we got born again. There could be somebody watching one of these sermons, and I'm going to invite people to make Jesus the Lord of their life. And it's this easy. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. It's that easy. Jesus did all the hard work. We do the receiving. So if you're out there and you're watching and you want to get born again, say this prayer out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you raised him back to life. This day I confess that Jesus is my Lord. If you said that, you are born again. You are born again. The very next thing you need to do is get in the Word and start finding out what He did for you. Go back through the Facebook page and listen to these different sermons and start getting His word in you. It's great to be born again. It's another thing to live by faith. It's exciting. And it's wonderful. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that your word in our hearts produces faith. When we focus on the cross and we see Jesus in His grace, it causes great faith to abound in our hearts. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well.